Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we attitude, we moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Minnesota Vikings fans, the Purple People Eater podcast returns. I am your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Aaron Miller, will be joining us very, very soon. Obviously, it's always fun to talk Vikings football. That's just kind of what we do as, you know, Minnesotans, right? Everybody loves the Vikings, or at least ones that pay attention to the sport of football or sports in general. It's always nice to start a podcast and to do a podcast coming off a big win that we needed, especially a home game, you know, that we haven't dropped many home games. We're what, 7-1 last year? To already have two losses at the midway point kind of stung. Obviously the Bills game still kind of stings and ultimately might sting when it comes to playoff seeding. But anyway, we are back. The Purple People Eater podcast returns, and we got a lot to talk about, a whole lot to talk about. The show will start with recaps from that Detroit Lions game. Several things to get to when it comes to that topical-wise that I'll go over in just a moment. After we kind of sift through all this stuff that we have, whether it's talking about the defense or the offense or just a variety of stuff, we will kind of, just like we talked about last week, you know, we're at the midway point in a sense. I do realize we're 9 games in, but it's a bye week, so we don't have a game to preview. So instead of previewing a game, we're going to take a kind of a nutshell look at the midway point, kind of a season in review. Not the full season in review. That'll be much, much later, hopefully in February, right? I say hopefully just because I'm not gonna jinx us. But anyway, and then we're gonna take a look at the NFC North. We're gonna preview the last, you know, 7 games on the schedule, kind of give our takes on what, you know, lies in front of us. And what lies in front of us, before we get into much detail about it, It's all right there for us. I mean, sure, out of 7 games, I believe 4 are on the road, if I'm not mistaken. That's not easy, obviously. Road games at Seattle still can be tough at that time. At Chicago's no cakewalk. And, of course, we got the Patriots. Man, our road games, I said this before, but our road games this year and our schedule in general, it's just, it's rough and tumble. But, I mean, a variety of, you know, we've only played, this is crazy. It's November, and it'll be mid-November by the time we play again. And we've only played 1 game in conference. So we got a good conference record. We haven't lost in conference. We haven't won, though, either. Or division, I should say. So, yeah, we definitely will have a nice preview. Some of the topics that we'll, you know, come up on, obviously, I think we're going to lead with defense. Just like, you know, normally the team does anyway under Zimmer. You know, Hunter is just in beast mode. The defensive line, the whole defense, though, because it wasn't just the defensive line. Of course, they played great, but the secondary helped them out a whole lot. It definitely comes all together. You know, Zimmer talked about a while back when they started making some improvements on defense. Zimmer did mention a lot of like wrinkles that they added in the off season trying to tweak with stuff. And it seemed like they got rid of those wrinkles, right? They just said, let's go back to basics. Some of the younger players or inexperienced players that hadn't played a whole lot of snaps and gotten a whole lot of reps, in-game reps anyway, in-game snaps, they weren't necessarily picking up the extra wrinkles. He said we just kind of, and some other players too, said we just got back to the basics. But after the game here in the Lions game, he was talking about some of the adjustments that they also made since then, based off copycat defenses that all of a sudden a lot of offenses around the league, the Rams he made, you know, particularly, you know, because that was an ugly game for us, especially with just the number of touchdowns that we gave up, five, I think, in general. He said we've made adjustments. Also on the offensive side, you know, the offense stuttered at times. It had a lot of potential, and then we leave a play or two on the field. We left some points on the field as well. It was good, though, to get Delvin Cook back. And when he turned that corner, it, you know, that kind of shows you right then and there why we need him back in and to stay as well. And like we normally do, this is actually when we'll get to, you know, our season review stuff midway point in the last, you know, seven games of the schedule, NFC North predictions. But we'll close the show, and it's a tough one. Again, we're going to close the show, although there is a glimmer of help, or hope, I should say, off of, or positivity, off of some news that broke as far as coaching staff, something we have been talking about defensively for a while. So we're going to talk some Minnesota Gopher football, reviewing the ugly, and I got a capital letters, oogly, ugly. Your mama says you oogly. Ugly-ass Illinois loss, dude. We'll preview the Purdue game. And, you know, it's all about, since there's only three games left, and there's a good chance, a great chance, the percentages of us getting to that sixth win is really low now. Let's play these guys, whether they're freshmen, sophomore, redshirt freshmen. Let's take advantage of that redshirt rule. That'll be something that we'll talk about as well. If this is your first time listening to the Purple People Eater podcast, it can be found right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. If you want to subscribe, it archives here. It's like the headquarters. It's football, boxing, basketball, a variety of other stuff that we talk about, not just football. But, you know, we're available all across a lot of different platforms. So the Purple People Eater podcast is under the Rope and Dope Radio podcast. And you could subscribe on iTunes, basically what people are calling Apple Podcasts now, Player FM, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn is a really nice source as well. But you can check it all over the place there. Subscribe right there. You can also catch us on the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. I'd like to apologize for those who do listen to it on the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. There was a little issue with downloading the show and a couple of shows, I believe. I don't know how many, but I know of several. To Spreaker, they were having a little issue. I even tried to send another download, but something was going on. So I'd like to apologize for those people who didn't weren't able to listen on the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network for the Vikings show anyway. So, yeah, the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, it can be found anywhere, a lot of places I just listed. Also, iHeartRadio and streamed on Spotify. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. They got a great sponsor over there, mybookie.ag. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net, listen to a podcast, read an article, or, you know, while you're at it, place a bet. It'll send you right to mybookie.ag. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host and just kind of check in and see how he's doing on this lovely late afternoon, basically evening by now in Minnesota. What's going on, Aaron? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Chris. It's great to be back on the Purple People Eaters podcast. Yeah, it's a nice little evening this evening. Fall is in the air. Leaves are turning colors and hitting the ground. So, yeah, we're moving into the cold season here. But other than that, we're doing pretty good. Ready to get talking. So, yeah, pretty good game Sunday. What'd you think about it?
funny that you say that, too. Just I'll answer your question in a second, but I look at the forecast, and I see like a high of 34, high of 32, high of 28. So, yeah, it is getting into that season. It's 42 and rainy right now. It may have a chance of snow tomorrow, at least sneak sleet, too. But, you know, I was happy that we got the victory, no doubt about it. We'll kind of break down the ebbs and flows of the game in just a moment. But I was happy with the game in a lot of ways. Obviously, when you see a defensive performance like that, it's just freaking, like we were saying off air, just ridiculous. Just silly. I mean, it was so fun to watch. And it just, you almost, and I say almost, and I put up like a little centimeter with my two fingers saying almost feel bad for their quarterback over there, Stafford. I don't, but I almost do, because we can relate to having a bad offensive line, especially a couple of years ago as well, when Teddy and Sam were just getting devoured. I still don't know if our offensive line is as bad as it was a couple of years back, but it's inching towards that once in a while. It is running the ball better, that's for sure, or at least you know, popping some holes open. But yeah, just from a defensive perspective, man, that was fun to watch. And, you know, it's kind of like offensive linemen that like to run the ball and be like, we actually are coming to hit you. You know, that's what a lot of offensive linemen thrive on. Well, a defensive line, what do they thrive on? Pinning their ears back, like we always hear that. We just pinned our ears back and just rush the gosh darn guy. And you know what? They did stop the run first, and they – couple of players said that as well. They did stuff the run very, very well. I think they've made some improvements a little bit. Well, last year we were pretty damn good at it, but years past, the way our style had been, sometimes we would give chunk runs. It's almost like, even though it's a little bit different, but just an example of the Tampa 2, you know, once in a while that would give up a big run because of the responsibilities of certain players, especially that middle linebacker who had to cover up a lot of stuff. You needed a Derrick Brooks, Ray Lewis type guy in that Tampa 2 to make it click, and obviously the defensive line too. But overall, man, I was just happy. And as we kind of pushed through this first half, early on we've heard about Flip and Zimmer saying, hey, we're going to be aggressive on offense. We're going to. That's what we do, and they've, for better or for worse, Aaron, they've done that. They've went for it. This time on a 4th-and-3, Chad Beebe Jr. Got in there and got a nice little pickup. You know, Rudolph actually on that first touchdown drive, Rudolph recovered the fumble. They turned that around and gave it to Murray. It was a kind of a bang-bang play. I was wondering why they – well, they figured probably, hey, because sometimes they pause it, you know, on a touchdown to replay real quick. But now that I think about it, they probably were just like, well, it doesn't matter. It's a touchdown, whoever got it. And then they credit it to later. But after that, Rudolph made a grab too. And they talked about the 58 straight starts. And I remember years ago when he got that hernia. And for a good chunk of that season, he just couldn't come back. And even the next season, he just wasn't quite himself. And now these, you know, consecutive starts, the last couple of years, he's kind of gotten back to his old self. Is he the best or top two, top three, you know, tight end in the league? No, he's not. He's come around on defense as well. But, you know, I like what I saw out of that. But just seeing him making these catches, especially with his hands up top. He's really good at that in the red zone as well. Another thing that you could tell right away was, you know, the pressure we got and the sacks we got, you know, a lot of it was just a four-man front coming at you. Now, that has to do with coverage as well. We can't just give all 100% credit. And Zimmer made sure, he even called it 50-50, to make sure that the corners got plenty of credit as well, not just corners, but secondary in general. That stood out to me, especially in the first half. And, you know, just seeing Delvin Cook, you know, coming to – I like the way we closed. We got that extra touchdown. We got the ball back, got the field goal. It was 17-6 at half. We held them to 88 yards passing, Stanford, lowest of the season. At that point, we had 100 and some odd, I think it was 106 yards in the first half rushing the ball. And Kerryon Johnson, who had been playing really solid, he actually was averaging 6.6 coming in. He had 8 carries for 17 yards. A lot of the yards that they gained were in garbage time. But seeing Cook turn that corner, Aaron, and they clocked him at 22 miles an hour, which is the fastest clock they've had on somebody. I don't know if it's on that type of run or just in general. He was actually kind of surprised. He mentioned that dude from Kansas City. He's escaping my brain right now. But it was nice to see Cook out there, dude. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
That's Kareem Hunt you were thinking of. Yeah, it really was. Like, it was good to see kind of a complete team win. I thought the offense was kind of lacking a little bit in the second half, but they came out and they got the points and the lead that the defense likes to play with. Yeah, Rudolph, you know, you were talking about him, and I thought, as you were talking, I had the thought that, you know, Rudy's not catching a lot of balls, and it's unfortunate because the last few years it seems like he's had to make up for deficiencies on the offensive line, and he's been in blocking more than getting out. I think that's more the case there with him. He's making plays, though, and making blocks, which all you can ask for him, but I'm sure he's looking to catch some more balls. Overall, I thought the game was really good. Good to see Chad Beebe. I've been waiting to see when he would come up. Now, the interesting thing about him is that we can't put him back on the practice squad because he'd have to clear waivers and somebody might pick him up if we put him through waivers this time. So he's up for the rest of the season, I think. I don't know what that means for Brandon Zylstra. He's a pretty good special teams guy. But it's good to see Chad up. The run game, Cook, like you said, it's a great run. He had a few, it was kind of feast or famine with him. A couple 2-yarders, 3-yarders and stuff. And then he just went off to the races. He said that he didn't quite hit his top gear because he was scared he might pop his hamstring again. So he kind of kept it down in fourth gear and tried to get there with that. He came close. He had said one guy to beat, and he would have – actually, if he would have just lift that leg up, he would have got in. But the guy got him and at the end there, so went in and punched that in for a touchdown. And 10 sacks, what do you say about that? I mean, I've never seen 10 sacks in a game, and they didn't really seem like – you know, you think you'd see a game where you saw 10 sacks and you'd be like, yeah, that's so – but it just kind of seemed like they just sort of bled it out, like one sack here, and then you got McKenzie on a sack there, and then, you know, Hunter gets a half sack, and then Richardson comes in and gets a half sack, and it just kind of all piled up, and it seemed like smoothly throughout the game. I really think that having Ev back was what made the difference there, because you can't block them all, and you got four guys that, you know, one-on-one are going to beat you. So
right,
you pick your poison. You know, who are you going to chip? You're going to chip Everson? Okay, well, then you got Daniil on the other side, and you got Linval. You know, you're going to double Richardson, and you got Linval. You're going to double, you know, you can't really figure out who you're going to double. How are you going to deal with it? You're going to have to bring in a back, fullbacks, tight ends, go two tight ends, do something to deal with that. So I really think that was an important part of how that line really made a difference there, as well as the secondary. I thought everybody there played well, and Hill showed up again and played well. So I thought that was the best defensive effort I saw to date this season. Seemed like they really got inside the 20 and were stubborn, didn't give anything up in there except for field goals. So mostly what I picked out of this game to finish off and round off this recap is, you know, I think this team is built for this division. And you're not going to really see this team at its peak until you see it in division games. When you go outside of the division, you know, we have to adjust and do a lot of things. And we've been outside of the division for most of the season. But when you get into playing Detroit, Chicago, and Green Bay, this is what we're built for. This is who we're built for. We're built to win these games, and we can start to really use our strengths because we built them that way against teams in the division. So it'd be nice. We got two more division games coming up after this, after the bye. So, yeah, I thought overall pretty good performance.
Yeah, and if you look, there was one, no batted balls. That's a big plus. You're like, huh, what? Wait a second. I had to kind of – I was paying attention in the game, and I thought, man, we're getting deeper in this game, and there's no batted balls. Like, what's going on? I agree the sacks, the way you said it was a half a sack there. They split a sack. but it just kept coming and coming and coming. They had three before you know it, four. I think by the end of the third quarter, they had eight, and only one of them was a blitz. I think that was Mackenzie Alexander, if I'm correct. Somebody had a blitz there. I remember that one. But, yeah, man, I mean, to get 10 sacks, you know, the franchise record hasn't happened since 1993 against the Bears, who we play in the next game, not next week, sitting at 1-0-1 in the division. And before this game, you know, like I said, we hadn't won or lost the division game. It was kind of a crazy thing. And as I kind of mentioned, I believe the Lions offense, most of those yards were definitely, you know, in garbage time. Another thing is special teams, especially the punt team. You know, Sherrill's had a nice kickoff or punt return, but we trap them time and time again. And that's key, too, and that's kind of how we're built. As far as just kind of cleaning up the rest of it for me, as far as the actual game recap, we'll dig into it a little bit more with topics and whatnot that we led with at the beginning of the show. Couple of things. Cousins, you know, that's probably two. We said last week two out of the three weren't really his fault. One of them was off Treadwell's hand. One of them was Diggs slowing down on that route or stopping on the route. This week, that interception definitely just didn't seem like, nah, dude. Now, in the way Cousins explained it, he thought the safety was going, or the corner, I think it actually was going to follow Treadwell on a deep, and the guy took a risk, and he said, screw it. I've seen them throw it this way. And, you know, we've been throwing it that half a – second early too a lot of times, right? And so it kind of it was a good read, not a great pass there. I thought that either way it's kind of clogged up over there, and when there's a second guy that close, I know it's stealing, I know if you put it up in the air, and he did put it up in the air because the corner or the secondary player for the Lions did have to make a kind of a leaping grab a little bit, but I didn't like that pass. I did not like that pass at all, but it was nice, though, that we didn't have to go out and chuck it 38, 46 times a game, you know? To be 18 of 22, you know, one incompletion was the pick. that's not that bad. But you're right, as far as offense, you know, leaving it some on the field, yeah, for sure. That could have been a scoring drive. What's that?
Oh, I was going to say we had a piece missing, too. I think we got to see what the lack of Diggs is like, you know,
right,
for a weekly Thielen watch. He did have a touchdown and a couple good catches. But, you know, he got the most, I guess is the best way to put that, the most coverage
right,
for the game. And I guess you can see the kind of the balance that Diggs provides or another receiver of their caliber, how you can – it makes it much more difficult to really lock them down or either one of them when there's both of them. So I thought that you really got to see that, and we didn't throw as much, I think, because of that. I'm not saying that, you know, the lack of Diggs really changed the game plan, but I thought it really changed the coverage a lot. And so made us maybe run the ball a little more, which I'm always in favor of, and it, you know, made a little more difficult on Cousins. And that interception, you're right, a bad throw. I really thought it was a bad throw, and his explanation really didn't make a lot of sense to me, but I'll take his word for it.
It did make sense to me when I saw them. Someone had on Twitter had a back view of it, and it kind of it looked like the way he explained it to me, but either way, I just thought, dude, there's a lot of people over there. It kind of like, remember when you said 2 weeks ago, remember, I think it was like, eight catches for like 33 yards or something Diggs had, and they were kind of forcing it to Diggs. That felt like a forced deal. Like, it was almost like, all right, dude, they're really covering him. Let's just go for it. And, you know, you are going to get burnt when you throw it a little early at times. Sometimes, you know, there was another pick that was like that. Same, actually, to the right in that area as well, and the receiver hadn't made it over there just yet. So that's two bad passes just like that almost. But I agree, either way, even if you know, tape I saw on Twitter looked the part, it still, you know, it still was like, yeah, but dude, it just seemed like there's too much over there, regardless, that someone could make a play at it. And sure enough, they did. You're right, though. You know, everyone gets so emotional, and this happens in every hometown, right? But it gets so emotional. Adam Thielen's the best wide receiver in the whole league. No one can, it's like, dude, just calm down. He's having the best year for a receiver this year. That we know is fact right now, right? Because
mm-hmm.
the stats tell us that.
Yeah.
And he catches. Absolutely. He's one of the best catching, wide receivers in the league because we see it. But let's just calm down. Who cares? Is that going to win us a Super Bowl? We've had some good wide receivers here in the past. Two of them are in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Three of them. Did Ahmad Rashad? No, Ahmad Rashad didn't make it, right? No. What I mean? Like, it really doesn't matter. Who cares about that debate? That's just silly. Just like all this, this Cousins hate. It's like, that's fine, dude. You guys can hate all you want, but we know what we've seen here the last 6 to 8 years for quarterbacks. So I see every game a couple of passes that I rarely saw besides like Favre or whatever, for those 2 years or year and a half, I guess you could say, because the second year he's all banged up, then finally got hurt. But, go ahead.
This really does seem like a really knee-jerk fan base. And I think you and I, sometimes we're even a little bit guilty of it. I know we try to slow our roll
sure.
as much as we can. But, you're right. It's, Thielen's great. And just enjoy it, Like, he catches better than I've seen a lot of guys catch. Chris Carter maybe caught balls as well as him. And his route
right.
running's impeccable. And the story's wonderful and all that's great. But, he's just – he's a receiver, and let him do what he does. He's going to have a great season, barring injury. He's going to have a great career. So just enjoy it. Stop freaking out. Diggs is the same way, injury-free. He's going to have a great career, and we're going to get to watch it. And, just really nothing to freak out about. And the Cousins stuff, look, man, like I said last week, show me something better that we've had here. If you can show me something better, I'll complain about
too.
Cousins,
And that was available, Where is it at? How many of these guys hit the free agent? I'll tell you, none, basically.
Not a
lot of guys with these numbers hit the free agency. Like, why would you let that happen? Why would you allow it? We're not letting Hunter hit the free agent market. We're not letting a lot of these guys hit the – and they're not even quarterbacks, So, you're right. We do from time to time have to, tame ourselves a little bit. But at least we get the knee jerk, and then we go, okay, hold on. Let me think that. Let me pull that back a little bit.
Yeah, and we're just in the middle of the season, man. Like, we haven't started to peak yet. We'll start peaking this month, and it looks like, man, if this comes together and we stick together and we have very few injuries, it's going to come together nicely, very nicely. Cook will come back. Ed will come back. And the defense, the depth that we have on the defense is ridiculous. Guys, not only a lot of guys, but guys that have been in your system for 3 years. And backup roles. I mean, that's amazing.
Exactly.
Coming in with that in rotation, defense starts to gel, and the offense starts to come together here in November. The playoffs are going to be nice, and I'd go ahead and take our chances against L.A. again. I'll take our chances against the Saints again. If we can stay healthy and just continue to improve, it looks really, really good for the future here.
Yeah, and we're going to talk a little bit about the future as well, the near future, because how many times – have we been the team that beat you in the regular season and then in the playoffs they come back and beat us? You know what I mean? I kind of like being in this little position, actually. I mean, I don't love it. I'd rather, be 14-2 and have home field the whole way through, but it is what it is. It is what it is. A couple other things just on offense, as far as leaving plays and points on the field, that ball – now we talked about Cousins. For the people out there, the first thing we brought up about Cousins is a bad interception. Okay, so we did get that out, but he was 18-22, and one of them was to another guy, and there was another pass that was about 35 yards or something like that. It was a deep throw, put it right on Robinson, and Robinson just came up short. It wasn't an easy catch. But it's right there. It's right in the bread basket. And he dropped the ball. That was first and goal from the 3, probably. We could have scored there. That's leaving points. And also, we started to get in field goal range. Now, I realize the 35 is field goal range, but you know what I know. We're not going to call it field goal range at the 35 this year or the last couple of years. I just can't do it. Mentally, I can't do it, Aaron. But 35-yard line, you're getting in there. And then, you know, the pitch to Dalvin Cook resulted in a fumble. And that took points, you know, off the board, potentially anyway. Couple of ones that really kind of, caught my eye as far as offense. I did like how they ran the ball. They stuck to the run. Maybe not enough, but they did. It does seem like the third quarter blues, whatever you want to call them. We didn't play that great. Now, both defenses played pretty solid, though, in that time frame. And like I said, a couple of those plays, both those plays were in the second half that I just mentioned. So that could have been an extra 3 to 10 points right there, potentially, or just 7 out of one of those plays, or who knows. When we get, you know, the way it was going, is, you know, they had that tackle that they made a trade for. It was kind of like, let's not run right at him anymore because this is not working. And the first carry that Cook got, they fucking ran it right to that dude. I'm like, no, don't let him touch him right now. Let him get hit and go out of bounds or something like that. It was kind of like, no, don't do that. But, you know, you got to keep going down the middle a little bit no matter what. But those are a couple of plays that kind of stood out to me. And it's funny because I even saw the Cousins, the pitch was Cousins' fault. And it's like, do you mean to tell me that was uncatchable? It wasn't even a catch or a pass. It was a pitch. But, you know, when you look at the replay, Delvin's head came up. Why? Because and it's not even Delvin's fault. This is natural. There was a dude coming right at him. Actually, dude, if they just wouldn't have even – like, he would, I don't know what would have happened on that play if he did get it, because that's what he was worried about. The guy was coming right at him. And also on that interception play, there was a guy coming at him, and he said – oh, this is what he said. I forgot to complete that about Cousins. Right there, a pump fake and go to Treadwell deep would have been the shot, but he also said – I also got a guy right in my face, so what am I going to do? I'm not Michael Vick, you know what I mean? I'm not going to spin out. That's a couple of plays where you're just like, you know, you get the running game going. They want to run the game, run the ball more. I do think with Cook coming back, those little 4 or 5 yard pickups, I think will be, you know, like the West Coast version of, you know, a running game. I think that's probably the best we're going to get, the combination of running it more and also just not getting down in games. A lot of that early in the season was that. Now we're playing a lot better defense. We've won 4 of our last 5, and we're not getting down too far in some of these games. I think that was – I think that's basically all the points that I wanted to get to. Is there anything else as far as wrapping up this game? We've dig through some of these topics. We'll dig through more, and then we'll definitely look forward to the last 7 games of the schedule, kind of preview those, and talk NFC North predictions. Anything else you want to talk about, sir?
Sure.
This game?
I just wanted to piggyback on your point about the defense. Our defense definitely plays better with a lead. So I think it's really important that the offense can at least come out, put 7. If the other team answers, put up another 7. Give the defense the lead and let them do what they do. They struggle a little bit when they're behind because the other team's in run, and we're not the biggest defense. But when we get into any kind of lead is when our defense plays at its best. So, you know, come out strong or quick at least. If you can see the tail of this game, it even worked that way. We came out, we put 7 up. They came back, got 3, we put another 7 up. That's all our defense needs to play with, you know, maybe 7 to 10 points. So just a comfortable little cushion, and then they just let the dogs go and really show and play well. So I really think that's an important part of what we do going forward. The other thing I just wanted to mention is that we got Riley Reiff back. It made a big difference on the offensive line. I thought Cousins had a lot more time. O'Neal's playing over on the right side still, and I thought that was good. I don't know if Rashad Hill's hurt. I think he is. But it was good to see that Riley was back and playing well. And I really think it shores up the line as much. I think this 5 with the exception of Tom Compton, might be the five that we're going to need to go forward.
Yeah, that's a good call, and I was just kind of tweaking something, making sure. Okay, there we go. Yeah, so obviously we know, you know, Hunter is just in beast mode. The guy looks the part. He acts the part. He just everything about him. And if you look at the first four seasons with the Vikings, he ranks in team history, fourth in team history for the first 4 years anyway. Only Marshall, which he's right behind, Page and Jared Allen are in front of him. He actually just passed Randall. And that's, you know, we got seven games left. So he's going to pass. I believe he'll probably pass Marshall and Page. He'll be right behind Jared Allen. By the way, first four games for Jared Allen, 62 sacks. Now, remember, though, he was already an All-Pro coming here, whereas the first 4 years are his first 4 years in the league. So we got to definitely kind of think about that. If you look at the first four games and the last four or five games, the defense is just, you know, it's literally from like 382 yards per game down to like 287. The points now are even cut further. We're actually closer to 20 rather than giving up 27.5. It just some of these stats are just starting to line up where you're just like, wow, man, we are really finally turning the corner. And defensively anyway, if you look at the defense, here's some more stats. And I'm you know, we're going to kind of talk about is the defense all the way back and some other things here. And 49 out of the last 62 third down tries have failed against, you know, the old Vikings defense. Hunter at 11.5 sacks, more sacks than Oakland as a team, who has 7, and the Giants as a team. Minnesota leads the league in sacks at 31 points or 31 sacks. Now, obviously some of these numbers will, you know, deteriorate to an extent anyway, because we'll be out a game. But it also will help because another week will go by. And so it kind of matters the stat you're looking at when it comes to that. But yeah, Hunter, just more on Hunter. He became the second player since 1982 to record at least 3.5 sacks and return a touchdown. And the dude had 9 tackles, 9 or 10. It's actually kind of in between. I've seen 2 different sacks. But also, Tom Johnson had 2.5 sacks, 3 tackles for loss. Like, this third down defensive line, I just love it. Richardson and Johnson in the middle, and Hunter and Griff on the edge. Just that alone is like, and then you got, you know, it's not like we don't have Joseph for first and second down, but now we have, it saves on Joseph. It saves every, I'm like, that third down defensive line, dude. We need to go. I mean, we're going to talk about Barr or you know, Sheldon in a second. But just that third down defensive line alone, like your first, second, and third down defensive line now, it's just silly. And it's only going to get better, Aaron. I just love what we have there for depth. We talk about the secondary. We have a ton of depth. And obviously, we know, you know, on the defensive line we do. And that third down defense, man, that line can get after it, to say the least.
Well, it's really just Richardson. I mean, he provides the balance. We didn't have him last year. Nothing against Tom Johnson, but, you know, I think Tom Johnson's in the perfect role for him right now as kind of a guy coming off the bench, giving guys a little break on that line. And Richardson really makes the difference because now you're just balanced across the whole thing, as I mentioned earlier. Where are you going to double? You can't double, and you can't beat them one-on-one, especially with Linval taking 2 guys off. I mean, you're right. It's just on third down, it's going to be ridiculous. We get good coverage back there. We've got the corners to do it. We've got enough safeties here to play. We've just got like 3 or 4 good safeties. It's an embarrassment of riches.
I wish
you
could give some
right.
To the Gophers. Can we get one of those to the Gophers? Just one. We'll take just one.
Just one. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Give him Sendejo. Give him Harris. Even Harris can make your plays,
Sendejo,
man.
Sendejo, dude.
Oh, he would just clobber, man. Well, you still have to wrap up. We still got an issue with that, but we'll get into that later.
And just digging into this a little bit more, if you look at it, you know, no team, the Vikings here, it's said that we, you know, we lead the league in sacks. No team has invested in fewer first or second rounders on the D-line in the last 10 years. If you look at Hunter, third rounder. Griffith, fourth rounder. Weatherly, seventh rounder. You know what I mean? Like, just those three alone, it's just lovely that you can get that kind of production. So sometimes it's just about drafting something that fits your system. And you know, so it doesn't have to be the first round per se. Now, when we're talking about the top flight offensive line, yeah, that has been something that we haven't done much. Of course, if you look back at it, some of those haven't really turned out. I remember a Khalil, a seventh round or a seventh pick or sixth pick in the draft, something like that. It's kind of a, sometimes you think, well, you know, when you're fitting them into a system, that's different. You don't need first rounders per se on defensive line in the way we do it. There's actually a lot of these players that weren't first rounders. A grip of them, actually, when we start to talk about depth, obviously depth is a little different because you're not going to have a bunch of first rounders on depth. But, yeah, like you said,
yeah,
when we get help.
With Hunter, it's just, I mean, I don't remember what year he was drafted. 2 or 3 years ago, we picked him up, like you said, in the third round, and we're all like, who? This kid out of LSU with one sack, I think he had in his season there. And boy, they really got a good one there. And they do that a lot defensively. I think we have a lot more faith in how they're drafting over here. Now, you're right about the offensive linemen. It seems to be a crapshoot for us, and we can't get that figured out. But, you know, we always got the next draft, right?
That's right. In the next line of free agency. And, you know, we have actually been active in free agency with the offensive line. Mm-hmm. It's just been the second and third tier guys. We put out some money for some of these guys, but they haven't been that top, tippy top shelf guy. And same with the draft. And so that can be an issue that could catch up. I think honestly that, and we've said it almost all year. We definitely, cause you know, Cousins caught a lot of heat last week. We actually talked about the offensive line, probably, you know, one of the most in a show this year. And, that is the thing that's going to hold us back. If anything holds us back, it's going to be that. It will be that. Everything else is in place. It really is. I think it's really bad. And if we can just sustain what we have now with an offensive line, it's really key to just keep blending and keep getting better. I remember a couple years ago, I think it was 3 years ago, we didn't have a great line. We could run block. We couldn't pass block that well. But we lost a couple of guys, Sullivan and Lohol, at the beginning of the year. But the five starters we had, that's when we were 11-5 and went to should have went to the second round. We won't get into that. But from a 26-yard field goal or whatever it was. But we won't get it. I'm already into it, aren't I? I'm already talking about it. Anyway, those five stayed the whole year, basically. So when you can get five and then gel them, we've even seen, I mean, Elfline's been freaking huge for us, no doubt about it. But, yeah, even Compton potentially coming back, whatever it is, we do need to just – O'Neal's coming along. If we could just stay healthy there and also health in general. We've had a lot of name dudes with health issues. You know, obviously one of them mental health with Griff. But a lot of these name guys have been hurt too. It's not like it's just Sendejo in the second and third reserve. You know what I mean? We've had some key guys. And when they come back, we go, oh, okay, I can see. And definitely Griff, you could tell the rust was starting to get off this week with Griff. I'm glad that you brought that up. That was a big thing. You could kind of see he had a little bit of that step back. He even says it's a little bit back quicker than he thought. And it takes a lot of pressure off him not having to play as many plays. But we're kind of in – we're basically – we've kind of blended into already – nice and smoothly. We've already blended into kind of midway season review. A couple other stats that stand out. This is for you, Adam Thielen, guys, that say he's the best ever. But yeah, some people were saying he's the best Vikings receiver ever. And I was like, dog, just calm down. Yeah. Enjoy the season. Like, dude, really? Like, seriously? Really? Did you see Chris Carter? Like, he needs about 10 more years of this to catch up to CeCe. Let's just calm down. But anyway, by the way, he leads the league. 49 of his catches have been for first downs. Odelly, me and my nephew call him. Odelly, that's when you make a one-hand grab. Odelly. Odell Beckham, he has 39. Jones, it's the usual suspects here. Jones has 38. Hopkins has 38. Woods, Green, Thomas, Evans, basically everybody there. And when you look at that, man, in the last 5 years, just those names I mentioned, it's like, let's just calm down because those guys are freaking good too, man, and they've been doing it for a tad bit longer. That's not to say we don't love Thielen. He's a hometown kid. Are you kidding me? We love Thielen, dude. But we're just not worried about where he ranks all time. It doesn't matter. Right. There was another point.
Yeah, I mean, I love Thielen,
too. Is the defense all the way back? Is the defense all the way back? And do you believe Zimmer with these copycat stuff? Because remember, about a month ago, Zimmer said, well, I got a little too gimmicky. We were working all this stuff, and a lot of these young players or inexperienced players, they didn't quite pick it up. Let's go back to the basics. But going back to the basics, it sounds like he's tweaked some of we only had like one or two blitzes last. Well, we probably blitzed more than that, but that found a home. So maybe we blitzed less. Maybe our coverage is a little different. He said he's had to make a tad bit of adjustments off the first 4 weeks because about, I think he said like 8 to 10 or 10 to 12 defenses have started doing our stuff. And, you know, so offenses are actually repping it way more than they did. Is it safe to say, though, that the defense is all the way back, considering who we got back? And that'll lead us into who we don't have on the field and in our choice between free agents next week or next year.
Is the defense already back? Yeah, I think it's we're seeing the beginning of back. We'll get the bye back. We'll get everybody healthy. I think you'll start to see – I mean, we start to see inklings of it, you know, being stingy inside the 20, not giving up big runs. You know, stopping the run is really important. I thought it was really interesting what Zimmer said about 10 to 12 teams that are running their stuff. And, you know, that makes sense. It's a copycat league. It's what people do. And if they're starting to rep it out a little bit more, then they're starting to be more aware, and that's when you can kind of start to tweak your thing. And I think that's what he's saying is maybe I tweaked it a little early. Beginning of the season, you know, maybe I should have waited to put it off a little bit till about now and then come out with some stuff. And I think that's kind of what he did. He introduced it in training camp, so they had a general idea and then pulled it back. I'm not saying it was a big plan of his. I'm just saying it's how it worked out. He pulled it back.
Yeah, it's definitely
ran
how it
the
played
same
out.
Stuff.
Correct.
All right. And then now, you know, after the bye, I think you're going to start to see, okay, well, Zimmer, you know, the guy watches a lot of tapes, got one eye, and he knows defense, and I think he's got something up his sleeve. So it's always nice to know that that's working his way. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I think you're probably going to see a little bit more big nickel. You're going to see I'd like to see Anthony now that we've got – if we're all healthy and we've got the defensive line where we want it, and we know Wilson can hold down that other linebacker spot, maybe you can start putting Barr in as a rush specialist. Like we were saying towards the beginning of the season, I hope I'm not saying anything that you know might come because I don't want to give anybody any tells, but I think maybe you start to pull out a DN and put Barr in there on some stuff and
like we did
maybe
early
push
in
him in the
career.
Middle. Like, yeah,
that
or like D-Rod
career.
Used to do. So that's where I think a lot of the depth is going to come in handy. You know, you got Ioloka and Kurse pretty much mirror image of each other. You can line up them as the two safeties. Have you thought about that? And you can do a lot with that. Harrison plays the whole game. It'd be nice if someone could spell him out a little bit, keep him fresh. So defensively, yeah, I think we're beginning to see. I think you gave us a little preview of what's coming after the bye, and I really like it. I'm excited to see what this defense does. You know, I want to go back and talk about this Thielen thing. Yeah, just quickly. Thielen's the greatest. Yeah. Whatever, it's straight cash, homie. You know what I mean? Golly,
right.
Randall. That's the best
jump with
the
me.
League.
They can't jump with me. Golly, Randall.
that is the best receiver this league has ever seen. So, you know, we're slow our roll on that a little bit. But, yeah, I think really it was smart to get Richardson. I think that's making all the difference. And yeah, we've got all the other stuff, but really shoring up that other defensive tackle is really huge. It just makes it so hard to get your hands on any of those guys. And if they can rush and rush like that, it's really going to be scary. I don't know if we've seen an offensive line. I don't think anybody really has an elite offensive line anymore. I think the Bears have a pretty good one, but I don't think they have anything that could really handle, if we're all healthy, handle what we have to offer as far as the defensive line is concerned. So, yeah, it's going to be really, really interesting to see how that goes. What were you thinking about the D-line rotation? Who's coming off that? Tom Johnson and the other Johnson kid? And then I think we cut David Perry. Did we cut? I think we did, didn't we?
We did, but didn't we bring him back?
Yeah, I think he came back, but I think he got cut again to bring BB up.
Oh,
so I'm not even sure if he's with
him.
We'll have to figure that out. But regardless, we got the kid out of Ohio State, Jalen Holmes, can come in and play that. So linebacker depth, now I know what Zimmer was saying earlier in the year, that he didn't think he had enough depth at linebacker, because we go maybe four. I think he'd like to have a couple more, maybe one more linebacker. He's got Gideon and kid I just mentioned, and Kendricks and Barr.
You're right, too, by the way. I'm checking the roster right now. You're 100% correct.
So we got four linebackers. Offensively, like you were saying, that offensive line, just get it shored up, keep them playing together. Pray that you don't get too many injuries, and I think we'll be all right in that position. We got plenty of receivers. That's one of our strong points. Running backs were good. So like you're saying, you know, offensive line seems to be the place that if we're going to get got, it's going to be there. And let's just hope that that doesn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's and, you know, we can, especially with Cookback, man, the dump-offs, the available dump-off, even to get back to the line of scrimmage or get a 3-5 yard pickup, I think that'll be crucial. And, you know, I actually saw the other day, yesterday, that people were saying, you know, Coach Flip even brought him up at his opening press conference when he first got hired here. Like, yeah, we really like that Cook in the draft. And, you know, you could tell that that's the type of guy that, and that's not taking any away from Murray, man. He's been solid for us. We paid him like a starting running back before we got Cook. People kind of forget about that. We signed Murray in the offseason, and then we had the draft. So we didn't really know we were going to get Cook. When we got him, I was like, oh, my God. Now, obviously, you know, the rest of this year and even in the next year, we're going to find out a lot about Cook as far as health. That is kind of a knock on him. If you look at Florida State, the season went on. Of course, they did give him a whole lot of touches, too. Sometimes too many, like Saban at Bama, where he's up to, like, you know, somebody's up to, like, 38 carries. You're like, dude, how many freaking, like, you going to wear down his tires, like, in his sophomore year before the pros? Or I know you want to win, but I know you got a 5-star sitting on the bench too, Saban. So just play that guy a little bit. But that's going to be key for Cook, because this guy, man, he is, I just love him. I really do. For a variety of reasons, and we're going to need him. We're going to need those dump-offs. Yeah, I do. I agree. I think our defense is basically back. But a question we both were kind of, you know, wondering about, and I think it's a legit question. A lot of people are like, why haven't we extended Anthony Barr? You know, what's the deal? We got, you know, a bunch of people extended right now. What's up with Barr? And then you look at Sheldon, you know, and you say, huh, both those guys, you know, he's on a 1-year deal. He just got here, obviously. So which one is it? If we got to choose, you can't have them both. They're not from here, no. But you know what I mean? The old saying, hometown discount. Which one? Mm-hmm. If you had to choose, which one, you know, with some of the other guys at, you know, at linebacker, in the fact that we do play so much nickel, you are right about the depth when it comes to that, but we do play a lot of nickel. So some of these guys who come in and play pretty well, don't get a lot of opportunity. But which one is it, you know? Do you want Barr, who the first year and a half looked like a Hall of Famer damn near? Potential, obviously. I'll slow my roll when I say that just to make it clear. But which one? Sheldon, Richardson, or Anthony Barr? The way this defense is built, the importance of that position. You know, Floyd was a guy who we drafted in the first round, by the way. Looked really good, but had major injuries and never could get back on the field. Our defense was a little different without him. Now we got Sheldon here. He's a veteran too. He's not old, but he's a veteran, so he may give us a pretty good deal rather than the best deal out there. What do you think, man? It's a tough decision, but
barring injury, pardon the pun, it is a tough choice, and it really it didn't seem like it would be that much of a tough choice in the beginning of the season, just because we hadn't seen what Richardson's impact would be. You know, looking forward, you got to think a lot of different angles on this. There's a few expendable guys, I think, coming off in the off season. Guys like Sendejo and Waynes, Rhodes, even perhaps Treadwell. Guys that you know are getting pushed very hard by depth right now. So, you know, and Anthony's one of those guys. And if you look back at the old Cincinnati days with Zimmer, he was always refreshing his linebackers. And he'd always get the new one, and the one that played really well for him would go play somewhere else. And maybe we're starting to see that sort of emerge. I guess that's a long way of saying I think I'd go with Richardson at this point just because of the balance he provides on that offensive line, like you were saying before with Sharif Floyd, who was, you know, the Richardson before there was a Richardson, and how that didn't work out and how he's been trying to fill that spot for so long, and I think he's got that spot filled. And I got to feel like that three technique's got to be a little bit more important to this defense than a linebacker. And, you know, I love Anthony Barr. I hope he can stay. And, you know, I guess there's no saying that he wouldn't take a hometown discount, but, you know, chances are he's probably not going to do something like that. I could see him going to the Rams or something like that, playing in L.A. again, or maybe the Raiders and going to Las Vegas or something. But, yeah, I think a bottom line on that, I'm going to have to go Richardson on that. And then that opens up the can of worms. Well, what do you do with Barr? What can you get for him? Do you trade him on draft day? What's your choice on that?
Well, I believe he's a free agent at the end of the year. So you wouldn't be moving him. You'd just let him go. Unless you're thinking about trading him midseason. Or not midseason, but – or wait, did the trade deadline already pass? Or was that – God, that's the thing. There was a bunch of trades. In the last little bit, it did pass. That's the thing. There's this year there was a fair amount of trades that actually will boost, you know, some teams. Some of them it won't matter. Like I guess you could say maybe Detroit, where they got better on defense, but then, you know, they got rid of Gold Tate as well. And by the way, we have 90 seconds left of the live stream. 646-381-4990 is the number to call. That's 646-381-4990. If you want to chime in, that's cool. Some people just like to hang out and listen while they're doing their daily errands or just hanging around. I'm not going to sit here and say Barr's garbage or something like that. You know, nothing like that. But Sheldon Richardson is just, you know, they talk about, I'm not a big X's and O's guys, the three technique and how, but we all know that that's a, that position is big in this style of defense for Zimmer. And, you know, the hometown discount for Barr, he'd already be extended if he was going to take a hometown discount. You know what I mean? I think he wants to hit the market and see what's out there. And I do think somebody, you know, maybe he does, maybe the things we were doing a year one, a year two with him, were, you know, we don't do as much now. Maybe somebody will. And has a he fits a scheme better, and so he can go there, and it'll make him look like the first couple of years again. And that's not, you know, sometimes it is just scheme. I mean, Sheldon Richardson wasn't a bum, but he got, you know, he got cut, so he came here, and now he's another stud. Tom Johnson, he wasn't a bum; he's a great depth player, and so, you know, at linebacker, you know. What is it, Gideon? Is that how you say his name? Gideon? He made a nice play in the red zone. You know, these guys can be, and we talked about Eric Wilson too, these guys can be just in the right position. And that's all we really need from them sometimes with the talent we have on the defensive line and the talent we have in the secondary. And linebackers in this system, they can run free a lot of the time. And Kendrick's already signed. He's 26 years old. I would definitely, I kind of think you're going to get like maybe less money per year on that position compared to linebacker and interior deep of the line as well. I think that now it doesn't look like that right now, but it's just because Barr's still on his rookie contract. I don't agree though with what you're saying about Rhodes being pushed, or maybe he'd be on the outs. He's kind of a sneaky guy that – not sneaky, but when you don't hear his name, sometimes people are like, why don't we hear his name more? It's like, well, are they throwing his way as much? Sometime in the earlier season there were some plays, but I think even Harrison, a couple of plays, you saw him running down the play rather than being there. Maybe some of that was his fault, maybe, or both their faults, you know, in the particular category of that play. Or maybe it was just the defensive as a whole wasn't playing good. But I don't believe Rose is going anywhere. He just signed an extension, a six-year extension, 2 summers ago as well. But, yeah, man, I'm with you. I really think when you can be that disgusting on first, second, and third down on the defensive line, and we have that much depth in the secondary, but I agree with Wayne. You know, he has one more year, but then and I think he might have to come down on that. You know what I mean? He might, just to stay on the team next year, he may have to come down on his money a little bit. And I'm not sure. We'll see if he's willing to do that. I mean, he's got the starting position, so I don't see why he wouldn't. But I'd say that right there, you know. I'd say Wayne's, not that he's a bad player. You know, you're not going to sign them all, obviously, like the old saying goes. And he might be out. Not this year, but next year, because I think we talked about that. And he's just starting to really come along, too, man. Because it seemed like he was always in good position, too. But he always put his hands on him a little early or not turn his head at the right time. And now it does seem like a lot of it's coming together for him. Anything else you'd like to mention before we start to kind of talk about this NFC North race and with the Bears leading right now? And just kind of taking a gander, taking a peek, because we're not on the roster. So we can look ahead all we want. You know, the old saying, don't look ahead. Anything else you want to, you know, talk about as far as the mid-season review or, you know, any of these topics or maybe a variety of topic that you wanted to piggyback off of or mention or anything like that, sir?
I just wanted to mention that, we got a kind of a log jam in the secondary, and you know we have to start thinking about money a little bit. We've got a $84 million guaranteed quarterback, so a guy like Rhodes he's cemented here if the money's right. And I feel like something's going to have to give money wise a little bit. And we've got some depth pushing up. We've got Hughes coming up. We've got Hill coming up. They're both dirt cheap. One's on a rookie contract. One's a rookie free agent coming in. Look like they can play pretty well. I think we're going to lose either Waynes or Rhodes. I think that Waynes is going to come a little bit cheaper, and I'm not going to say
they won't cut him.
No, I don't. I think they'll either trade him or, you know, there's going to be
some
movement.
Because we got him for five more years under contract. He's under five more years of contract.
Yeah, you know, you're right. All of the logic of it is right, but where's the money going to come from? Not that we need it. It's just there's something about it. He's hurt a lot, but, yeah, you know, for five more years, you're right, he's kind of cemented in here. So just, you know, do you take Wayne or Rose?
Especially when we can get rid of Wayne. You know, Wayne we can get rid of, and that's first-round money. Remember, he was making first-round money. He's a top-10 pick.
Yeah, this what was Rhodes' 21st pick or something like that in the draft. So he came that
year
with
three. But he's not on that contract anymore,
three.
You know.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, you definitely make a really good point there. I just feel like, you know, a lot of things can happen. We'll see. I guess we'll just have to see what happens going forward. You know, Barr or Richardson, I think they'll sign Richardson, and then you've got to deal with some other guys. So, yeah, you know, it's definitely a less chance that they'll get rid of Rhodes than they'll get rid of Waynes. But I could, you know, I don't think it's outlandish to say that maybe they get rid of them both. And you know, I think that's unlikely, but I don't think it's impossible. It's hard to say that anything's impossible this day and age.
I'd say in the next 2 to 3 years, I'd be pretty much shocked if they got rid of Rhodes. Not Waynes, though. Not Waynes. Because you're right. Money comes up. Some of these extensions, though, are partly really good for the player, but partly really good for us the way we set them up. I think we've had a long, you know, nice run of having enough cap room to where we don't, you know, overpay someone just drastically. And even with this Cousins deal, and someone made a point to me the other day, maybe I saw it on sports Twitter, Vikings Twitter. The way it's loaded up, if you look at these, if we had given Cousins, you know, one of these 5 or 6 year deals or whatever, most of them are loaded in the first 3 years. So a lot of times, whether it's on the cap or a roster bonus, a lot of times, like a good 50 to 60, sometimes 70% of their money are in the first 3 years. So when you add it up like that, you go, well, these first 3 years would kind of be that way anyway. And you'd hope that since we showed him that money, we talked about hometown, you know, discounts or tweaks, I guess you could say. Like roster bonuses for me is big for me. And some of that is, you know, in this deal too. We could get underneath some of this or out underneath some of this deal just with that, you know, as far as a roster bonus. Let's say in 2 years, if he had like, you know, just a horrible end of this year and then just was horrendous next year, we actually, some of that money would him count on him being in the third year on our roster at a certain date. So technically, I guess it's not as bad as it sounds. Plus, Bradford was making 20 a year. You know, so we had money. It was sitting right there for a quarterback because we had planned either, well, Teddy originally some money, and then also Bradford when it looked like Teddy was going to be done and not play again. So that's the part. They scheduled this money. So that's what, you know, a lot of these extension, a lot of it's built that way so it helps, and that's why some of these extensions that haven't happened, like the Bar, maybe there's a conflict there going, well, this is what we've done. You know, sure, in 3 years, this deal's not going to seem that big, but you could say that with a lot of these deals. So let's talk about this NFC North race here, buddy. Let's talk about it, okay? And also, right, you know, when you look at this schedule, we are flexed. Our next game was scheduled a noon game. It is flexed in primetime, so we're going to come back to back-to-back Sunday night games, one against Chicago, at Chicago, in the, you know, a little bit colder at night, and also home, Green Bay. So we're going to go back-to-back, and I wouldn't doubt if one of those three games, well, I'd assume that Chicago game's going to get flexed. It really matters these next 5 to 6 weeks, though, and that could be an afternoon game or a night game as well. We were talking about it off-air, kind of texting back and forth about how this puppy's going to close down. How's this race going to turn out, buddy? And what is your prediction, not just in the conference, but, you know, the Vikings record too, when all the dust clears and settles?
Well, going forward, you look at, we've got the Bears now. This coming game, you're right, did get flexed to Sunday night. So it's 2 Sunday nights, and it's a cold. It'll probably be pretty cold in Chicago 2 weeks from now. So I can kind of change the outcome of the game there. But after that, you got the Packers at home. It's a game I think we can win that. Go on the road to the Patriots and the Seahawks after that. You know, I'm not loving our chances down there in Foxborough. It's another outside game. But I think, you know, we'll at least hold our own down there. And I think we can beat the Seahawks, but I got that like 50-50 to win or lose that game. Then we go, Dolphins come here, and then the Lions, we go there, and the Bears, we finish off with the Bears here. I feel like it's a pretty good 5-2 there. I don't want to exactly pigeonhole the losses. I feel like it'll probably be something like one of the division games and the Patriots. If not that, maybe we lose to Seattle at their place. All the other teams in the division are looking – the Bears got a really nice schedule coming up. It's really tough. They're right now leading the NFC North or in right at the moment at 5-3. And they're going Lions, Vikings, the Lions again, the Giants, the Rams, a tough one for them, the Packers, the Niners, and then the Vikings again. So not a lot. They kind of went through the tough part of their fourth-place schedule. So it's looking, you know, if they can really keep up what they're doing now and play well, I think, you know, they could be a big competition for us in the North. The Packers, they're 3-4 at the moment, 3-4-1. So, you know, it's hard to tell how they're going to play. They're going through a lot of changes right now, and it just doesn't seem like they have the receivers and the offense that they're going to need to help Rodgers now. I'm never going to count Aaron Rodgers out. He can do miracles, so, you know, but he's going to have to get anywhere in this division going forward. Their schedule is looking pretty good. They got some tough ones, but they're playing a lot of, like, they got us, they got the Falcons coming up, they got the rest of it's, you know, the Jets, the Cards, the Dolphins. So they got a pretty nice schedule too coming up. The Lions are the Lions. They're enigmatic, you know. They could, they could finish out the year and not lose again, or they could, you know, be the Lions and lose them all. But, you know, so, but they got some tough ones. They got the Panthers, us, the Bears, but they got some light ones too. They got the Bills and the Cards, I think. No, not the Cards. They got the Bears. And, yeah, the Cards, I'm sorry about that. They do. So, seems like we have a tough first schedule. It's not great, but we're packed in the division. I think most of these division teams are kind of loaded in the division, ours being the most of that. So, it looks kind of good for us. I got the Vikings going 10-5 on the season, 10-5-1. And I think that's pretty fair. You know, there's a chance they could really go 12-3. Excuse me, hold on a second. I had to cough.
I'm right. Yeah, go ahead. That was quick. That was
the
nice.
Bears. I got the Bears going. You know, I feel like they're going to come back to be the Bears again. Now, they've been playing well. Trubisky's playing well. They've got Mac. He'll be coming back, and their defense is pretty good, and they've been playing well. They haven't really played anybody, and they won't have to play anybody. But I feel like they're going to come back to the pack a little bit. They kind of have to, whether it's injuries or just being the Bears. So, you know, I got them about 8-8, and I know that's under what a lot of people think. A lot of people think they could win 12 games, and they could, but I don't see that. Not with us coming up twice and the Packers again and the Lions. They're going to split with the Lions, and they always do, and we always do. So, got the Packers, the Bears at 8-8. I've got the Packers finishing 8-7, which is a bad year for them, but I think they're in the transition of coaching. They might get a new coach, and they're really freaking out over there. They've got, you know, they lose a few games, and they can't handle it. But like I said, Rodgers, you can't count them out. You know, one thing, and they'll go off and running. So at this point, I've got them at 8-7-1, and the Lions I got at 6-10 because they're the Lions, and they're not going to be terrible forever. I like this Patricia. I like what he's doing. I just don't think that they've got it this year, especially with the performance they just showed in the division on Sunday. So I'm looking at – that's a two-game overall game advantage for us at the end of the season. Us winning 10 games, the closest team to that, or two teams winning 8 games. I didn't count in the divisional wins and losses and tiebreakers. I figured overall record here should be enough. This is obviously just, you know, spitballing here, but – a lot of people are like, well, it's going to be a tough division, but I think we're going to come out at the end. Like I said, we're peaking at the right time. We're starting to come on now here in November. If we play well through November and December, I don't think 11 wins, maybe even 12 possible, conservatively say 10. And I think that's going to be good enough to win the North. I don't know where that's going to lead you as far as the playoffs go with teams like the Rams who might win 12 or 13 games, and the Saints who might win as many as games too, very close to home field. So,
yeah,
you know,
those
do we fall?
Are probably
what
the
are
top
your
seed,
we...
I'd say, right? And then you got Carolina.
Yeah, that's another one too. So,
they're
6-2. What do you think? Do you think We can get there, get to the bowl on a wild card if things go right. That's, you know, you probably play a wild card game at home and then you go on the road for two. I think that's pretty tough, but, you know, we might be built to do something like that. I mean, if you got to earn it, you got to earn it, right?
You know, and for a while there was a string of almost every other year where a wild card would win the Super Bowl. The Giants did it twice against the Patriots, the Packers, 2000, what was that, 10, something like that. That happened. There was a string of that. Sometimes that comes down to injuries in the middle of the season or whenever, and you don't play your best, and then you heat up just in time. I remember they had to win their last, the Packers I'm speaking of. I don't like to speak of them, but I am speaking of them. So the last three games they had to win just to get into the freaking playoffs, and they go ahead and win the whole thing. So if there's ever a way for the Vikes to win a Super Bowl, knock on wood, if there's ever a way, like, I guess that would be the way. I really do. I kind of feel like the last maybe 5 years I've felt that. Now, I felt pretty good last year on our chances of it, no doubt about it, obviously, if you look at how it was set up. But, yeah, I really do. I agree with you. I think it will be at, you know, New England. That's okay to cross that one off and say that's an L, no big deal. And I think it'll come in a division game. I think I'm right on there with you. I don't see us losing at home anymore this year. And that includes the playoffs. I think we'll be the fourth. I think we'll finish the fourth best team, which does give us, like you mentioned, home field there. And then it's off to the Saints or the Rams, you know, that will probably have that bye. And I mentioned this earlier. We can be that squad that this year that lost to these teams, but then we also know there's certain, like that Saints game especially. Now people are like, well, after, you know, last night's game, Saints are the best team in football, right? That's what people say. Well, if that's the best team in football, okay, I'm fine with that. That's fine. They're going to play indoor anyway, right? You're going to play indoors. Is it going to be that cold in L.A.? I don't think so. I don't think it'll be that cold. If it's windy and rainy, it's going to affect them just as much as – well, I shouldn't say that because they have Gurley, and they do have a little bit better running game. I'll say that. Just attempts even. And that's the thing, the attempts with us. But, yeah, I look at the four spot, you know, the 10-5-1 I think is doable. I'm right there with you as far as it probably will be a conference loss, could be the next one. It'd be nice to jump on them, Chicago, in this next one, but we also do have that Chicago game just sitting right at home to close it. It kind of reminds me of 11-5 a couple years back, having to beat Green Bay, except in Green Bay, with what I deem as a worse offensive line then. Those 2 years in a row, the next year, remember, we went through six different tackles. I'd never seen anybody get hit like that between Sam and Teddy. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, my God. I mean, it felt like – well, I wouldn't even say that. But, yeah, I'm right there with you, man. And this isn't just home cooking. Maybe there's a little home cooking. But I think it's realistic. I think you're right. We're peaking at the right time. We're going to get guys back. We could sit here and say we don't want Barr on the team next year over Sheldon, but we want Barr on the team right now. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, I really think that's how it's going to close down, and we'll get that first round, home game. So,
what scares me the most is going, if you're talking about a playoff road, would be the Saints at their place. That's a tough one. You know, I really think that's even worse than going down to L.A. and playing the Rams. I thought we played them pretty well down there with a few mistakes. We could have won that game. In fact, you know, we finished it. We were all pretty satisfied with how we ended up playing them.
Yeah.
And I think we were the same way with the Saints, take away a few mistakes, and we would have been closer on that one. It's just going down to their place in the Hornets.
Sure.
Nest, you know?
If you look at it, sure. You know, we would have had a nice little lead at half, too. So keep going, though.
Yeah. Well, just, you know, that's a tough one. I think that's kind of going to be the bitch of the bunch if you're looking forward to that. Now, you know, that doesn't mean we can't come up and they can come down and we can end up having to buy ourselves. But, you know, that's at this point in time, it doesn't look that way. It looks like they're playing pretty darn good. So You know, going down and beating the Saints in their place is a tough order. I think we can do it. I think I was going to say, you know, like you were saying, that's the way to win a Super Bowl. If we're going to, that would feel good, wouldn't it? Coming up out of the wild card, going on the road and winning two, and going to the Super Bowl, that'd be something.
Going from 1-2-1, yeah, that would be nice. That would be dope. That might be the way. We just do it a different way. You know, we all these years we want that home field. Let's get that home field. How's that home field done for us? You know what I mean? Not that great. Of course, we haven't had a ton of them. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if you look at last year, we didn't have the home field when it came to the actual conference game or whatever. But yeah, I think that maybe that's the way we do it. But you know, that offensive line, I don't have my hopes up that we're going to win the Super Bowl, obviously, because obviously we're living in Loserville. But you know, we know how that offensive line can catch up to us here. And it has. It already has. And how sustainable is this? Well, the fact that we only threw the ball 22 times, that helps a lot. I really liked what you said about the lead. We don't need a 17-point lead. Just get something on the board. Also, third-quarter offense, I think it needs to improve for sure. Third-quarter offense really needs to improve down the stretch here. Anything else, sir, before we get – and this can be a quickie. But before
I just had that. The Gophers. I just had the, I think that we said we might get that loss to the Patriots. And now that they flex that game up for the Bears, I feel like that might be where the division loss comes in. It's going to be cold and night. We don't usually play well at Soldier Field. So I kind of put the L down for that. But I think we got every chance in the world to win that game.
Yeah. And Trubisky, he's starting to come down to earth. Those three games in a row where he just went off, 354, had a bye week, came back, 316, 333. Didn't need him much yesterday. Only had 20 attempts, only 29 the game before. So, you know, the thing is, Trubisky hasn't faced us just yet. So we don't know shit about this guy until he faces our defense. Okay, I'll shut up. You're right. The night game, it hasn't been that great to us. On to those Minnesota Gophers. We've talked about defense a couple of times. Basically, it's been beyond ugly. If you look at some of these stats in the Big Ten, oh my, it's really bad. I understand you're not going to have this, I mean, we went through it last week or the week before. I think it was last week. We went through the depth that they had when they took over, and it was ugly, whether it's the secondary and some other players on defense getting expelled or leaving because it was on some bullshit. If you look at what we had one for the next year, his second year. Well, I guess it would be his first year. No, it's the second year. We had one scholarship dude on the defensive line, and we talked about how the JUCOs are coming in as well. I think that'll help. Another thing, just with this defense in general, like you have, two plays 62 yards, two plays 64 yards. You're talking about seven plays 21 points, and it's like, guys, can we make them dump it off? Or whether it's a missed tackle, whether it's a scheme, whatever the hell it is. It's just god-awful. And, why haven't we gone to the 3-4? Because we had all this depth at linebacker and guys that are undersized defensive end. And I agree with you. On the surface, that sounds exactly right. However, you got to have a big daddy in the middle if you're going to play 3-4. You can't go play 3-4 without a big old stanky mother effer down low. Am I right? You got to have something in the middle. If you're going to play a 3-4, you got to have something in the middle regardless, but especially if you're going to be a 3-4. So although I see where people are going with that, because yeah, that is some depth linebacker, no doubt. That we have a bunch of players that played well in the former system, especially at that position. But finally, the defensive coordinator is out. Not to say we should have fired him a couple weeks ago, because where's that actually get you? I don't know, but it had to happen. You just can't give up that many freaking plays. And if you stretch it out even more, it's 12 plays, 28 points. Just ugly, ugly, ugly. Now Bateman, you know, had another big game, set the beat Ron Johnson for the freshman record, which I guess doesn't mean a whole lot, a freshman record receiving. Any receiving record at – let's be honest. I love me some Ron Johnson and Tutu Atwell, but let's be honest. A receiving record doesn't mean a whole lot at Minnesota, but, hey, it's a step in the right direction. It was just ugly, just freaking ugly. And I'm just going to nutshell it because we don't have a ton of time. I'm going to let you take over for the rest of the time. We got like 5-6 minutes. In the last three games, starting with Purdue, play the youngsters, not just freshmen, not just redshirt freshmen, sophomores, underclassmen, play them. Take advantage of this four-game, you know, redshirt rule. There's only three games left. Take advantage of them. How worse can it get? And that's all. I'm not going to really preview the Purdue game, although I do think we'll play a little bit better than we have defensively the last couple of games. I don't even know why I'm saying that, but you tend to see when there's a firing, it sparks up a side of the ball or a team. They're not going to come out and be gangbusters, but I don't see them giving up 21 points on 7 plays next week. But, yeah, play the youngsters.
Yeah, I certainly hope they play better. And, you know, you're kind of caught in that middle ground. You play the youngsters and get the season done, which I think everybody's kind of in that mode of just, you know, let's go on to next year, this year, play the youngsters. Or do you try to get that bowl game? You're still not out of our reach. We get win two. Now, it's a tall thing to ask, and, you know, it's probably not going to happen, but, you know, do you play for the bowl game or do you play for next year? I think I would probably try to shoot for the bowl. Now, it doesn't mean you can't use the youngsters to get there, but you're right, we got the firing, which had to happen. I mean, you can't, like you were saying, you can't give up that kind of yardage, those kind of points to an Illinois team that is used to people doing that to them. So I don't care if it's road, I don't care where it is. So I think, you know, PJ had to make a tough call as far as, you know, his relationship with Rob Smith, but it wasn't a tough call as far as football is concerned. So they bring in Joe Rossi, who's a defensive line coach on their squad. He was the defensive coordinator at Maine from 2009 to 2011. Don't know a lot about Maine football. Then he moved on to Rutgers, where he was the defensive coordinator from 2012 to 2015. That was some Big Ten stuff, but Rutgers obviously isn't the shining pearl of the Big Ten either, so. You know, it's got a little experience, so that's good to know. I don't know a heck of a lot about Joe Rossi, except for that he's not Rob Smith. And I think the players probably do. And you're right, they probably do get some kind of boost from that. I don't know if it's a boost enough to beat a really good Purdue team to just beat Iowa on the road. So, you know, that's a tough thing to ask, but, you know, maybe you can – I mean, you got Purdue coming up, Northwestern, and Wisconsin. Those are three pretty solid to middling teams in the
gotta
Big
win
Ten.
You got to win two of them to get to the
yeah,
bowl.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, like I said, that's a tough order. So, you know, play the young guys, like you said. I know there's some good ones in there that he's redshirting and keeping. And he's done that, and I think that's good. I think he's got to just kind of sit through the fire, and Gopher fans need to calm down, man. It's not all – what did you expect? Did you expect that this year everything was going to be fantastic? He's told you a million times, and you say you're sick of hearing it, but obviously you're not listening. You know, he's got to build it, and he's getting in good players.
You said this after Fresno, too. You said this after the Fresno win, too. You said, I really hope that people don't think we've turned the corner.
We're not even close. I mean, next year is the kind of corner because we've got a pretty light schedule, and we'll start to have a little bit more depth coming through and a little bit better talent. But, yeah, I just – you know, maybe PJ brought some of this on himself, and you know, I don't know, but I just think, you know, this Minnesota fan thing is like, well, what you think that he's going to come in 1 year, basically? Like, I'm down with his year zero, year one thing, because that's exactly what's happening. Last year, he didn't have anything in the cupboard to play a season with, and he got through that. So, Purdue coming up, they're a tough team, man. They spread you out, and they make it really hard to know your keys and run your stuff. So, you know, I hope this defensive coordinator can get guys in the right spot, but no, I don't expect them to get 6 games this season. So, yeah, I think you're right. You play for next year. Get the young kids in. Get them a little experience. It doesn't cost you anything. Hopefully none of them get injured, and we just kind of play out the stretch and get ready for next season.
Yeah, and just to follow up on some of these freaking god-awful numbers, this year, you can add it up to last year, too. I don't know if people want to do that, but it's just depressing. But the Gophers defense in six Big Ten games, 43 points a game. Teams are averaging 35 yards per scoring play. Per scoring play. 19 rushing touchdowns or something like that. Big Ten opponents averaging 426 and 34 points just in general. There it is. Just in general, you know, as Rob Smith as a DC. So it had to go. And, you know, the thing about Purdue is they can look good, great 1 week, very good the next week, and then kind of lay an egg. And it's kind of been that way. Northwestern is actually leading, you know, their side of the division. But the first 4 weeks of the season, you thought, it's not the same Northwestern team. They're not as solid as they've been. And it's kind of, especially on this side of the Big Ten, this side of the division, the west side, it's shaky. It's all over the place. Usually we just give it to Wisconsin, and then every 3 years Iowa comes up and, you know, goes like 12-1 or whatever. So it's not that they can't play with Purdue or beat some of these teams. It's just if you were going to get the sixth, you needed to get the last game, especially coming off a win. You just needed to get it, and it just – that was disappointing. It's the first time I've been really just like, really, dude? Really? When you look at those plays, two plays, 62 yards, and missed tackle after missed tackle, or just nobody there. It's pretty ugly. Any last words, sir, before we shut this puppy down?
No, it just really makes you wonder how we held our own at Ohio State like that. You know, and you're right, that just – I sat down ready for that game thinking we had a chance to do something. And just second play, fourth play, I felt like there should have been a gong. And just every time there's gong, gong.
Seriously.
I mean, it was ridiculous. But hopefully we've put an end to that chapter and maybe start building a new one.
Yeah, it felt like the Nebraska Cornhuskers with Rozier coming in here in 1983 put up 70-odd points on us. It was just ugly. Anyway. Enjoy the bye week. Mentally prepare yourself for the rest of the season. We'll be back next week just to kind of preview stuff, talk a little bit more Gophers. I'm sure it'll be a little bit shorter of a show, but we'll definitely be back next week. Thanks for joining us. Peace. Enjoy your life, not necessarily the games. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have.